It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is Cassandra Jenkins.
The band's gone, and I'm laid up at a hotel counting days in Aurora. 1,000 miles from home, looking for signs of life, circling the parking lot just to see blue sky. I watch planes fly over the city, caught in space time, nowhere to be.
Cassandra Jenkins is an artist and musician living in New York City. One of our producers stumbled upon her track, titled Aurora IL, as in Aurora, Illinois. He thought that was a curious title, wondered about the origin of the song and what it meant, so he followed that curiosity and booked Cassandra for today's show.
When he came down crying on the local news, he couldn't stop.
That track is on Cassandra's previous album, My Light, My Destroyer. Her new album, which came out just this month on August 14th, is My Light, My Massage Parlor. Cassandra Jenkins, thanks so much for joining me today on The 21st Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Aurora, Illinois. Take us back to the inception of this song during COVID. What is it about?
You know, it's funny, when I start to talk about this story on stage, if we're on tour, I realize I just need to start singing the song because it's quite literal, at least in the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
I was on tour with Andy Schaaf, wonderful songwriter, and I woke up one morning and I just knew I was down for the count, and I kicked myself off of the tour bus and quarantined for 5 days in Aurora, Illinois, home of Wayne's World, of course. And I was really sad to miss our Chicago show for so many reasons. But, you know, I had a lot of time to reflect there at the Homewood Suites.
So I think a lot of people have tried to forget that time, which, hard to believe, was like 4 or 5 years ago now. You know, in some ways it seems like a lifetime ago. In some ways it was like just happened. How has that memory stayed with you?
Well, I feel like I had an odd experience because I went straight from a lot of isolation into touring, which was its own form of isolation. And because I think we were all trying to stay on the road. So we had to sort of keep ourselves out of any kind of crowded spaces. And so it would just be like tour bus to stage to tour bus to hotel. And that was just about it. So I had a really odd experience of touring that I don't think necessarily everyone really could understand at the time. But yeah, I also got to tour with some of my heroes and play with people that you wouldn't expect. You know, just as much as I could drop off a tour because I got sick, also sometimes it meant I got invited on 24 hours notice to support someone because their opener had fallen ill, you know, that kind of thing. So I ended up getting to play with The National that way and Courtney Barnett.
Very cool. Very cool.
In a similar fashion. So, you know, it's just a lot of last minute changes and kind of upheaval, but, you know, it was exciting nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. You know, I don't know. I know some artists are ambivalent about sort of digging into the meanings of their songs, but, you know, I was talking over it a little bit, so I don't know if listeners heard, but after you're in this parking lot in Aurora, and then you transition to talking about, you know, a billionaire in Texas building a rocket ship, sending the oldest man in space on a pleasure trip. How does Blue Origin relate to what you were experiencing there?
Well, I think, first of all, I always find the second verse in a song is the one that is has me pulling my hair out, because I think it's really when a song often develops is in the second verse. And I didn't have one for the longest time, but a friend of mine asked me to write the music for what we're calling a space opera, which is a satirical dark comedy about the very true story of William Shatner going to space via Blue Origin. And when my friend told me this story, I thought he was making it up. I didn't realize it had actually happened. And of course, now we're in a post Katy Perry going to space world. And I feel like now it's become even more common that people are doing these go up, come down missions. But I wanted to bring that sort of cosmic perspective and also that stranger than fiction quality into this story, because it's a pretty boring tale. Like, I got sick and I got stuck in a hotel room, but the place where your mind can go in those moments can be, it's limitless. And when friends of mine reminded me, like, hey, it's not so bad, you're in the home of Wayne's World, I rewatched the movie and I remembered that scene where they're lying on top of their car watching the planes go over, and it's this super mundane but hilarious moment, and conversation between the two of them. And there's actually a moment when Garth is whistling the theme song to Star Trek to bring it all full circle. So I found endless joy in like kind of trying to figure out what this song was about, and it's about a lot of things, it turns out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I mean Shatner had one of those experiences, and you know maybe it's because I'm a big Star Trek fan going back to my childhood that I was a little more aware of this mission when it happened, if you can call it a mission, vacation, whatever. That he had one of those experiences that people sometimes get when they go into space and they see the Earth differently, and you know I don't know, maybe sitting in COVID isolation in a Homewood Suites give you some, you know, other form of insight that resonates with that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's called the overview effect, and astronauts have been writing about it for decades now. It's this, it almost, when you see people writing or talking about it, it seems like they've had a psychedelic experience. It's similar to the accounts of people coming back from an LSD trip, you know. And so reading Shatner's account, it was no different. He literally came down from space crying, and there's a famous video of Bezos like shooting champagne everywhere while he's having this sort of mental breakdown. And it's just the again, that stranger than fiction quality, the surreal quality of it all, just the incongruousness of those two experiences. I was fascinated by it, and I felt like it deserved a bit of a monument in one of my songs.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners that we are talking with Cassandra Jenkins. She is an artist and a musician, singer-songwriter. Her latest album is My Light, My Massage Parlor, out digitally August 14th. Coming out on vinyl September 5th on the record label Dead Oceans. And we are talking to her, though, because she has a song called Aurora, Illinois, and we were curious about what that was all about. We've been talking about William Shatner. You know, I know people sometimes make fun of him a little bit, but the man does have depths. If people haven't heard his album Has Been, which he worked on with Ben Folds for I don't know, probably 20 years ago now, really, really interesting piece of work there. Let's talk about, can we talk about your new album? I'm very intrigued. Talk about the video for it. It's like, it's the album cover. It's it's a business that's probably going to be a landmark, like the American Football House is here in Urbana someday now.
As obscure as it may be
yeah,
in my
well,
case.
yeah.
I'm really excited because I actually made a one-shot video for the entire album that's going to come out, I think, next week with the vinyl. It is this place that I've become obsessed with, and it's the massage parlor by my house, and every once in a while there's a sandwich board drop. Like, they change the sign up, and it's, you know, you, my friends can attest, I get really excited every time they've got this new hand-drawn sign. And years ago, actually again during COVID, they had a particularly devastating and hilarious sign of Sisyphus pushing a rock up a hill, and it just said $35 on the rock and then foot massage in a big heart on the other side, still open. And I wrote a song about that, or it made it into the second verse of a song called Only One. And again, a bit of a zoom out philosophical moment, bringing Sisyphus into the whole thing. But since then, I've just continued to really love this place. And I thought, what if I write a soundtrack for the music as if you were to enter the massage parlor in the song Only One and end up in this sort of wormhole existence where the record becomes this relaxing, emotive piano version of itself. So it's a little bit of a video game moment. But I took the assignment really seriously and I really loved making an instrumental album. I mixed it in Dolby Atmos and had a lot of friends come and sit in on saxophone. My friend Vivian McConnell plays flute on it, a Chicago musician and songwriter. And yeah, I just loved making it.
Talk, and I also wanted to ask you about your use of, like, I don't know, we call them field recordings. I don't know if you'd use that phrase, which is something we obviously do a lot in radio. I wonder if you can talk about, you know, exploring other, you know, found sound and how that fits into what you do as an artist.
Yeah, I think I love recording as a way of sort of changing my lens on the world. I feel like just like you might see things differently if you're looking through the lens of a camera. I think when I'm listening to a recording of the world around me, I'm also sort of hearing it all in high definition and listening, becoming an active listener of my environment. And so I'm often recording things, just very everyday, daily things that then become to me more meaningful when I go back and listen to them. And in this case, I did actually record at this massage parlor downtown, and you can follow my path from the subway to the upstairs of a massage parlor called Grand Nature, in downtown New York. And I just decided at that point to let it become more abstract. I think it's such a balance with field recording. It's such a tactile and strong presence. It's very, it really puts you in a place. So I think I like to use it really sparingly, but to sort of cinematic effect. I record conversations with friends and family sometimes, often recording strangers on the street, recording sounds, whatever it is. I sort of go through phases of being obsessed and recording everything.
I love it. Recording everything, everywhere, all at once. Getting back to those cosmic themes. I think I'd like to end with we're going to listen to another track from your new album, which again is called My Light, My Massage Parlor. It's called Delphinium Bliss. I don't know if you just want to set that up briefly.
Yeah, on My Light, My Destroyer, there's a song called Delphinium Blue. It's about my time working at a flower shop and of course, is titled after the blue flower. And so when I was titling My Light, My Massage Parlor, I love to put a little spin on things. So Delphinium Blue became Delphinium Bliss.
Cassandra Jenkins, thank you so much for talking with us today on The 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Cassandra Jenkins' latest album, again, is My Light, My Massage Parlor. You can find it everywhere you listen to music, Apple, Spotify, wherever. It's coming out on vinyl September 5th on the record label Dead Oceans. That is all the time we have for our show today and this week. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Labor Day.